Good morning, beloved. Today is Monday, January the 27th, 2020, and we are here to seek God's face and to know His heart. We are live with Closet Conversations with Cody, and I'm excited to be here. As I was about to go live, I'm just in shock. How are we at the end of January already? It doesn't make sense. I feel like we were just starting to go back live for Closet Conversations, and now we are back, and we're at the end of January, the 27th day. We've got four more days. What are you going to do with the rest of your time in January? Amen and amen. Well, good morning, and like I said earlier, I'm excited to be here. The title of today's video is Jesus Disease, and so you may be thinking, what is the Jesus disease? That's a great question. We're going to dive into that and talk about that today. But I wanted to do a quick recap. So last night at the North Georgia Revival, week 103. So 103 weeks we've been in revival. We've seen nearly 12,000 people baptized, which has just been absolutely incredible. The Spirit of the Lord is pouring out like it was prophesied in Joel. And we're just seeing incredible things. I know I talk about it every Monday morning, but it's Monday. You guys, we need to change our perspective. We need to change our attitude about Mondays. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new week. You have breath in your lungs. You have a car that you're driving to. You have a home that you're staying warm in. You have a purpose that only you can fulfill. And today is the day that the Lord has given you. Amen. So if you're even watching this, if you're listening to this, at whatever point you're listening, you have a purpose. If there's breath in your lungs, you have a purpose for God Almighty. Amen. So I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about the revival, and it's just been incredible. So last night we had Kenneth Bay, who is really what we're going to be talking about today. I just jotted some notes down as he was presenting and just sharing his story and testifying about the goodness of God. And, you know, he was there. We're wrapping up our missions month. The North Georgia Revival has raised, as of last night, it was $167,000. $167,000. And that all of that money is going straight to the four things that the pastors of the North Georgia Revival decided. So one of those is we're going to be planting two churches in Russia. That's right. Two churches. We're going to be building two churches in Russia. Another thing that we're doing is we're supporting missionaries. So we're going to be donating and supporting missionaries that are out spreading the gospel, doing what we're not doing right now. There's goers and there's senders. So we're sending, we're keeping missionaries on the field. Another thing that we're doing is that we purchased a van in Thailand for people that are working in human trafficking. So we literally purchased one of those large church buses that we're going to eventually need. Christian and I are going to need with all the kids we're going to have. I'm joking. Hopefully we won't need a church van. If we do, I know the Lord will provide a church van. But we're doing that. And then we're also going to be doing two crusades, at least three crusades. We're going to be in the Philippines and then two other countries where we're going to be bringing the same revival fire at the North Georgia Revival. We're going to take it and spread it. We're going to spread the revival virus. So that was this weekend. And then we also got to celebrate my son's third birthday. We went to a glow jump place, so we had fun. It was a great weekend, but I'm excited to be here. Let's hop in and talk about this Jesus virus. So I heard this last night, and like I said, Kenneth Bay was preaching and really just testifying about his captivity in North Korea. So if you're unfamiliar with Kenneth Bay, which I really had heard only about him because of the revival, and we wanted him to close out our missions month in January, but he wasn't on my radar. I didn't know who he was. I mean, again, I knew of him, but I didn't know his story. And so just a little quick recap, as I was reviewing this morning, he was a missionary that was living in China. And what he would do is he would go into North Korea, which is very close to China, and he would go in and he would go and tell people about the gospel. So he was a missionary and going in, and according to his story, what happened was is he was leading a group into North Korea, and he had led many, many groups into North Korea. But this time he was stopped, and the security guard found a flash drive in his personal belongings, and they opened up the flash drive and found that there was a missionary support letter. And according to all of the officials that arrested him, they said that what they found on the flash drive was negative or documentation for the downfall of North Korea. And so he goes and they end up arresting him. And they said, well, he asked them, why am I being arrested? It's just a flash drive. That's not my intent. I'm not attempting the downfall of North Korea. And they said, well, what you have is more dangerous than anything that we've found coming across the border. And so, we pick up the story where he gets imprisoned, and they say you have a 15-year sentence in North Korean prisoners, no opportunity for bail, no opportunity for bond. You are serving 15 years for treason against North Korea. And so he picks up the story, and I'm just going to just share some of these notes, and then we're going to apply that to our daily lives, where we're not living in a communist fascist state. We are living in a land where we have freedom of speech and freedom of religion. But some of the things that I jotted down and notated last night, I believe are really going to speak to you, because I was spoken to last night, and even going over this morning, it's going to bring a sense of urgency and a call, and to remind you of the purpose of what we are called to do as kings and priests and sons and daughters of the Most High God. So I'm just going to read some of these. So one of the things that I wrote down is, he had this question. He said, he asked himself, God, did you abandon me? God, how if I am serving you and with heart and my desire and everything, my life laid down, why am I getting arrested? God, did you abandon me? And then I wrote, if God is good, why did God allow this to happen to Kenneth? And that's going to be our first talking point. Because some of you that are watching or that are listening, you may have had that question. You may have asked yourself out loud, and you said, God, I'm serving you. I love you. I pay my tithes. I look for opportunities to bless your children. I serve you. Why are bad things happening to me? And I want to remind you, beloved, that God is a just God, and he is a good God. He is good all the time. That is his nature. He can be nothing but good. But bad things happen to good people. That question has been asked so many times, the atheists and the agnostics. Well, if God is good, why do bad things happen to good people? The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust, that bad happens to good people and bad happens to bad people. That's part of it. But we as Christians, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, we have a choice on how we are going to respond to the bad things that happen. For example, I'm going to be transparent. Our HVAC unit, our heating and cooling unit, went out. It died last week. And I'm serving God. I'm telling people about God. I'm tithing. I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do as a Christian and as a king and a priest. But guess what? Now I'm going to have to come up with $5,000 to replace my heating and cooling system. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't say, God, why did you allow this to happen? It is part of it, beloved. And so what I did in response to what happened, I didn't say, God, well, you don't love me. You don't love me because my HVAC system went out. No, you know what I chose to do? I chose to praise him. I chose to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being a good father. Thank you for providing the provision. Thank you that you knew that this was going to happen ahead of time. So you've already provided the funds that I need to be able to purchase a new one. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to save me money monthly because now my bills are going to be lower because I'm going to have a brand new system. Amen. So when you have that feeling, when you have that thought, when the enemy wants to send that fiery dart to you and say, God doesn't love you, God abandoned you, he doesn't care anything about you, you fire back, you take up your shield of faith, and you say, no, you're a liar, you're a thief. I choose to praise God because I know that what's happening to me is going to build my character, is going to build my faith, and I'm going to be able to use this testimony to encourage someone else later down the road. Amen? Amen. So back to the story. So North Korea found that he had a flash drive, and there was a support letter on there. And so North Korea said he was dangerous and had to be punished. And one of the things that he said was, he said, North Korea, literally, the North Korean official said this to him, North Korea wasn't scared of nuclear weapons, because this was back in 2012, 2011. He was released in 2013, I believe. So this is 2011. He says, North Korea wasn't scared of the nuclear weapons. He wasn't, because North Korea knew that the United States had nuclear weapons, but they knew that the United States would not fire the nuclear weapons unless they were first fired upon. So it really wasn't a worry to the North Koreans. What they said was they were more worried about Kenneth. Listen to this. Grab this. They were more worried about Kenneth Bae training up people to pray and spreading the Jesus disease. How can a country that has nuclear weapons, that's a communist state, that's fascist, that rules their people, they have one TV channel, that's it. They have no internet. They are guarded and they are told what to do at every single moment of their life. How are they more worried about one man that carries the Jesus disease than they are worried about nuclear weapons? Beloved, if that doesn't point and paint the picture of what we carry and who we represent, I don't know what else will do it for you. We are carriers of the Jesus disease. Now, the important part, though, is who are we infecting? Are we spreading the Jesus disease, or are we keeping it to ourselves? We are not called to keep this disease to ourselves. And I know it sounds gritty and it sounds wrong, but do you understand what I'm saying? We are not called to keep what God has done and to keep what Jesus has done for us on the cross and everything that he's done for us. We are not called to keep it hidden. We are not called to hold it and hide it for ourselves. We are called to spread it. We are called to spread it. That's more dangerous to North Korea than nuclear war. And then he came in and really reiterated and hit home the point that prayer makes a difference. Now, I don't know how many times we've talked about prayer on here and how many times pastors have to talk about prayer on Sunday mornings. I don't know what it's going to take for us all, me, myself included, to realize the value of prayer. We will not know the value of prayer until we start praying and see our prayers answered. If the prayer and raising up and training disciples is more dangerous to North Korea than nuclear weapons, then why aren't we praying? And I'm not talking about praying, Lord, lay me down to sleep, I give you my soul to keep. That's what I was praying when I was growing up. No, how about you go to war? How about you get on your hands and knees and you cry out and you say, Lord, I choose today that the enemy will no longer attack my family. I choose today to break off every curse and every hex and every vex and every spell and incantation spoken against me in the name of Jesus. I break it off. I break off all soul ties. I break off, I close every open door that I've opened to the enemy. Lord, I want nothing more than you. And then when you start doing that, and then you start praying for people, when you start praying for injuries to be healed and for backs to straighten up and for legs to grow and for digits to grow back, then you will understand the power of prayer. We have to pray. We have to pray for our president. We have to pray for our leadership. We have to pray for our pastors. We have to pray for our families. We have to pray for our businesses and business owners and our bosses. We have to pray for those that we meet in the grocery store. We have to pray. We have to spread the virus, the Jesus disease. We have to. If we're not doing it, who else is going to do it? You can't let it all fall on me. You can't let it all fall on the pastors. You can't let it fall on somebody else. It is our responsibility as kings and priests. We are called as kings and priests. We are chosen. That's what it says in 1 Peter, that we are kings and priests, a royal priesthood. We are called to spread the disease. He goes on to say that even suffering is beneficial for you, because he found that he focused his eyes on Jesus. He learned to fix his eyes on Jesus in suffering. And I know I can get a couple of amens wherever you're at. You can amen, because whenever we're going through the valley, where are our eyes fixed on? They're fixed on Jesus. The issue that we're walking in, though, is that our eyes are only fixed on Jesus when there's a problem. I'm guilty of that. I'm not saying I'm any better than any one of you that are listening or watching right now. But when we keep our eyes and our focus on Jesus at all times, it doesn't matter whether we're in the valley or on the mountaintop. Because what Kenneth said is the suffering is beneficial. So some of you are going through some situations right now that are so trying, that are so, God, where are you? Have you forsaken me? God, did you abandon me? But I'm here to tell you, beloved, that he hasn't, that he's right there beside you, just like he was beside Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was right there. He was the fourth man in the fire. I am telling you, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, that he is right there. He is working for your good, and that he is working this out to benefit you, and that it will benefit, this situation will benefit others that are going to go experience the same thing that you're walking through right now. It says in Psalm 23, even though that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why can we go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil? Because I know who's walking beside me. I know who my good shepherd is. I know in all my knowing that he is right there beside me. Amen. So he learned to focus and turn his attention on Jesus through his suffering. He didn't choose to turn his back and say, well, God, you abandoned me, so I'm going to abandon you. No, he pushed in and said, all right, Lord, if you have allowed this, then I trust you, and I will praise you, and I'll turn my gaze and affection towards you. He learned to trust Jesus more. He said after some time had passed, they actually gave him his Bible back because they had confiscated everything. They submitted him to manual labor. He would wake up at 8 a.m. and work until 6 p.m., working out in fields. In 3 months, he lost 50 pounds. He was malnourished. They fed him very minimal food. And at night when he went to go lay down, there was a light in his room because he had to be constantly monitored in video surveillance, and that all of the light would attract bugs, and there was no screens or windows on his room. So he would literally have to kill bugs before he could go to sleep at night. In all of this, he learned to trust God. So he read his Bible and he prayed more, and he heard what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. And I know we were supposed to talk about grace today, but I felt really compelled and led to talk about this. Grace, we're going to talk about it. We are going to get there. But the grace of God is not just for the forgiveness of our sins, and it's so much more than that. It is the power, the dunamis power of Holy Spirit to produce explosive results. That's what grace is. We'll get there. Do not, and this is another thing that he said, as after a year that he was in there, you know what he prayed? He said, God, not your will, but my will. He prayed something very similar to what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. On the third time, when he went in and prayed and came out and found the disciples sleeping, he went back and said, can you not tarry with me an hour? And he goes back and prays. And the second time he comes back out and he's battling with his flesh. He knows what's about to happen. And he says, God, if you could take this cup from me, please take it. And then he goes back and finds the disciples sleeping. And then he goes back the third time and he finally submits and he lays his flesh down and he says, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Your will be done. And that's what Kenneth prayed after a year of being in prison, after a year of being held captive and worked to death, nearly to death. He says, I released my will. God knows. God knew that he wanted to go home. God knew everything. God knows everything. God knows the beginning from the end. He knew that Kenneth wanted to go home. He knew that Kenneth wanted to be released. But it was when, now listen to this, grab this. It was when Kenneth said, Father, not my will, but thy will. It was a light bulb that switched inside of Kenneth. Now he did not see the guards and the people that were tormenting him as people that were bad, but that people, they were people that needed Jesus. They were the lost sons and daughters. They were the lost sheep. And so what transitioned in Kenneth was that he was looking at them as the enemy. But then God, when he prayed that, God opened his eyes and said, these are my lost sheep. I need you to minister to them. They're lost. These are the ones that I left the 99 for. And I have placed you in this position to monitor and to help take care of this flock. And so what happened was after that year, is God opened up his eye, Kenneth's eyes and his heart and said, I need you to take care of this flock. And from that point on, the guards started treating Kenneth completely different. Now, Kenneth couldn't openly talk about Jesus. He couldn't convert any. But what he said happened was that these guards would come up to him. And he said numerous guards came up and said, what do I get if I accept this Jesus that you have? Because they were blown away, because now in the fields and when he was going to bed, he would smile. There would be peace and there would be joy. And it was completely different. You don't expect to see that in a prison or in a prisoner of another country. And they said, well, what's different about you? He found the joy of the Lord and he made that his strength. He found the peace that surpassed all understanding that it talks about in Philippians. And he rested in that, and he knew that God was good. And so now, the last year, he was ministering to those people. He was ministering to those North Koreans more than he had ever would have ever ministered to or ever had the opportunity to. So that our next talking point is, who has God placed in your path today? Who has God strategically placed? Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's someone from your church that is difficult to deal with, that they don't believe in God, or they question you for your faith and why you act the way that you act. We have to take off these lenses of viewing people as an enemy and as a burden. And we've got to put on the lens of Jesus and say, those are my lost sheep. I need you to minister to them. I need you to be a shepherd to them. I need you to show them what my peace brings and what my joy brings. I need you to show them the fruit of the Spirit. Beloved, we're all called to do that. It's not the pastors. It's not the evangelists that are on TV. We are the ones that are in the workplaces. We are the ones that can go out and make the biggest differences. Most people won't even step foot in a church door, but if they meet Jesus out in the street or in Walmart, do you think they'll look at joining and becoming a member of a church somewhere? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that if you saw the picture that I posted yesterday, it said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Beloved, this world is not looking for us to profane and profess that we are believers. They're looking for people that are willing to walk the walk and to talk the talk of Jesus Christ. How many times have you went up and talked to people and they said, well, Christians are just hypocrites. They're even worse than the non-believers because they're going around professing Jesus but living worse than the non-believers. There are atheists and agnostics out there that are living better than some Christians. They are looking for people that are completely sold out, that know who they are in the kingdom of God, that know who they serve, and that know that those that they come in contact with are the ones that Jesus is looking for. That's what we're called to do. We are called to preach the gospel and to, if necessary, use words. We should not have to tell people that we love Jesus. We should not have to tell people that we are Christians. They should be able to know before they even meet us that we are different, that we carry peace, that we're greeting people with a smile, that we have joy, that we have what they don't have. And it should be so appealing of what we have, the fruit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It should be so evident. It should be so aromatic and smelling that when we come into a room, people are drawn to us the way that they were drawn to Jesus. The way that the crowds flocked around Jesus should be what we experience because we have Jesus inside of us through Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So he had to choose. He had to choose to love God more. And it was an everyday process. He had to choose. Every day we have to choose. Do we love the world and the things of our flesh, or do we love God more? He multiple times he was denied to be taken home. Obama, President Obama had actually came over and visited and tried to take him home, and it was ineffective. And there was one time where it was, I think it was 15 months or 16 months in that he was told he was going to be going home and no one showed up. And so multiple times he had to choose. He had to choose. God, I love you. I love you more than my freedom. I love you more than this current situation. I love you and I trust you. We have to choose that every day, beloved. Every day, every decision we have to look at and we have to monitor under a microscope. Is this glorifying God or is this glorifying my flesh? Every day. And Jesus said, if we are to follow him, we are supposed to pick up a cross, and we are supposed to die daily. Die daily means we're dying to the fleshly desires. We're dying to the desire to commit sin against the kingdom of God. Now we miss it. I miss it. We all miss it. That's what the grace is there for. But we are supposed to die to that. We need to choose God. We need to choose to love God more. And he goes on to talk about why is the prisoner happier than the guards, and I kind of touched on this earlier. Who is this Jesus that you sing about every day? What do you have that we don't have? And that's just affirming that we carry a different presence. So we are ambassadors. It talks about that in 1 Corinthians, that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. An ambassador is a representative. If I'm an ambassador for the United States Embassy, I am representing the United States in a different country. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, so we are representatives of Jesus in this world. We are aliens to this world. We are aliens to this world. We are ambassadors. We are a representative of Jesus. Are we representing him well? Now listen to this. They tempted him. The guards tempted him with better conditions if Kenneth denied Jesus. He responded by saying, "You don't know what I have in Jesus. You don't know what I have. Is that enough? If you were tempted, if you were held hostage." I tell my wife frequently, I say, "Honey, if someone ever held me at gunpoint and they said they'll kill me or they'll let me go if you deny Jesus, if you turn your back on Jesus," I said, "Honey, I'll meet you in heaven." And it's the truth. It's the truth. Nothing in this world should be able to take what Jesus has done for you. Nothing. Now, you may not be able to say that right now, and it was difficult for me to get there, and it would be difficult to even be in that situation, but I'm telling you that I would not renounce Jesus. He did not renounce dying on a cross. He said, "I'll die for everyone else besides Cody." He didn't say that. He said, "I'll die for everyone, including Cody." Amen. Are we living an appetizing life to make others hungry for Jesus? Are we living an appetizing life to make others hungry for Jesus? We've covered a lot this morning. We've covered a lot. But if I had to leave you with something, I want to leave you with the three things that we've really talked about, is that God is always there with you, that God has not abandoned you, God has not forgotten you. He sees you. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows every single hair on your head. The second thing that I would leave you with is, are you being an ambassador of Jesus? Is your life that you're living drawing people to you? And are you being a mouthpiece for the kingdom of heaven? And the third that I would leave you with is that I want you to go out and be bold, bold as a lion. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but we serve the lion of the tribe of Judah. We serve the true lion. We're not serving someone that's as a lion. We are serving the true lion, the tribe of Judah. So go out and live boldly today. Go out and share your faith. Go out and know that when you put God's name on the line, when you go out and pray in Jesus' name, that Jesus will show up. And he will show out, because you are being bold and obedient for his kingdom. You are being a bold ambassador. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust this helped you. I know it helped me. So thank you for tuning in. We are over 32 minutes. I'm not apologizing. This was good stuff this morning. And let's go ahead and close out and pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you for this word that was shared. Lord, I just pray that you would carry this word to those that need to hear it, that the seed was planted, that the seeds that were planted, this was water to those seeds. Lord, bring forth a harvest. Bring forth a great fruit from this. Lord, bring a quickening in the spirit of all of us, Lord, to go out and to be more bold for you and your kingdom. And Lord, thank you for never abandoning us. Thank you for never returning for your word, for never returning void to us. Thank you that your promises are yes and amen. Lord, we choose to believe what the word of God says. We cast down the lies of the enemy. Father, we break off every curse spoken against us in the name of Jesus. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, Father, we choose to walk in freedom. We choose to walk in holiness. We choose to receive your righteousness through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a wonderful Monday. I will see you next Monday. By the way, I need to tell you this. I should have started the video with this. If you're still here, next Sunday, February the 2nd, we will have the Flowing Oil Bible at Christ Fellowship, both morning and for the North Georgia Revival. If you don't know what the Flowing Oil Bible is, go to the website. His name is flowingoil.com. This Bible has been producing oil for over 3 years, and recently it started producing silver. So that Bible and that ministry will be there Sunday morning and Sunday night. If you want more information, reach out to me. I'll be posting some other updates throughout the week. but I'd love for you to be my guest. Last time, or the first time they came, we had nearly 2,300 people show up. We had to turn people away. So this is going to be incredible. Their ministry is out of Dalton. If you want more information, reach out to me. Have a wonderful day. Have a blessed day. Choose to walk in blessing, obedience, and tell someone about Jesus today. Amen. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.